at this point in Revelation, things are now well into the Great Tribulation. It's nearing the 3.5 year point. And after the sixth trumpet judgment, which is the second woe judgment, has been completed, the seventh trumpet judgment, which is the third and final woe judgment, does not come immediately. And so we see once again a break in the action. We see, first of all, the messages given by the angel of God. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me in Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. So this angel is going to be playing a major role, as all the angels are. In the tribulation, demonic angels and God's holy angels are going to play a vital role. There's a commentator named William Newell. He made an interesting observation. He said that the more one studies the book of Revelation, the more we become impressed with the authority and the dignity of angels. Angels, although unseen by people in the world, are very active in carrying out the program of God. Most people view angels as nice, positive, protective, unseen beings. Many think of angels as being friendly spirit beings, and it is that true angels can be that, but they also may be ferocious and may be used to carry out negative judgments against those who are not right with God. And so we see this angel is another strong angel. The pronoun another means another of the same kind of strong angel that has been used in these tribulation judgments. And the adjective strong indicates it's a very powerful angel who has tremendous strength and might. It's not a typical harp-playing angel. This is a very high-ranked angel of God who's given tremendous power at this point in the tribulation. Some have actually suggested that this is Jesus Christ himself, but Jesus Christ never appears as an angel in Revelation, but as the glorious Lamb and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some have speculated this is either Gabriel or Michael. The arguments for that speculation are based on the fact that Revelation is closely connected to Daniel, and Daniel features both of these angels who are named. But since this angel is not specifically named, we can't necessarily suggest that it's either one. So we can conclude that this is an angel of very high ranking. We do know that this is a very high-ranked angel who is specifically authorized by Christ to act at this point in time. And this angel is coming down out of heaven. High-ranking angel coming down out of heaven. The point of this angel is coming straight from the throne of God. Judgment's about to hit. And it'll come directly from heaven. And it's clothed with a cloud. Heavenly beings often descend with a cloud, and often when they do, it's connected to judgment. Clouds that you can see are not small, which would indicate this angel would have a huge appearance. This angel will be a majestic, visible display and reflection of the glory of God. This angel will also have a rainbow on its head. It's important to observe the masculine pronoun his is used and not her. This is a high-ranking angel, as I've already mentioned. Biblically speaking, the rainbow represents God's faithfulness to keep his word and a promise he made. He would never again destroy the world by a flood. The rainbow is a sign that God will always keep his word and not destroy the world by flood. However, God has promised that he will destroy the world by fire, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. This will not happen until after the millennium. This angel with a rainbow is a visible reminder that God is faithful to his word, even when he's doing ferocious judgments. This angel had a face like the sun. More than likely, this angel has a very unusual heavenly glory to him. All angels will reflect God's glory, but this apparently is a very unique feature. Jesus Christ has already been seen in Revelation by John with a face similar to this. His face in the transfiguration shone like the sun. And we're going to see once again judgment. This This angel also has feet like pillars of fire. The pillar of fire imagery clearly connects to Israel being led by God. Remember that in the wilderness? This angel will be used by God in judgments that pertain to Israel. It will reflect the glory and power of God in pouring out judgments and stamping out sin. And then this angel has a little scroll in his hand. We don't exactly know what is in this scroll. We suspect that it has to do with prophetic things about to happen to Israel. It's like the playbook or rule book of things that are about to hit. In fact, this scroll is open, suggests that this angel is completely authorized to do that which the Word of God predicts. It will obviously obey all that is in the Word of God. And so this angel is standing with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. It's about to pour out the finale of the wrath of God on the sea and on the land. It's about to take charge of the remainder of their world, both sea and land. It's about to pour out the final judgments of God. They'll be focused on people of the land, people of the sea. And then the final judgment will include all Gentile nations in connection to Israel. But then this angel cries out with a loud voice, and heaven responds. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says this. And called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. This angel will cry out with a loud, thunderous voice like the roar of a lion. We can assume that this will be heard all over the world. The repetition of the seven peals of thunder represent the fact that the full and complete judgment of God will be a terrible and a powerful thing. The voices are communicating in clear, understandable language. Language of angels is an understandable language that communicates God's truth. It's not a bunch of babbling nonsense. And we learn from verse 4 that John actually heard what the seven thunderous voices said. In fact, he's about to write it down, what they said, and a voice from heaven told him not to write it down. We don't know for sure what he heard. It's very possible that he actually heard the name and identity of the Antichrist. God reveals certain things to some that he does not reveal to others. Some people have a much deeper grasp of the things of God than others have. And God reveals specific details concerning his prophetic program, but we do not know everything. No one knows everything as God does. We can know what his word reveals, but there are things we don't know, such as the name of the Antichrist. And then this angel lifts his hand and announces the end. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, and the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay. So this angel lifts his right hand toward heaven, swore an oath by the authority of God who created all things, that the time had come for God to judge all things. The finale has arrived. And so this is visible. This is audible. The God who made all things has the right to judge all things. And this angel announces, we are now about to pour out the finale of God's wrath for the next 3.5 years. The answer Peter gives is because of God's grace. God's grace in saving people is the reason for the delay right now. We see that in 2 Peter 3:1-9. But this angel reminds all that this program is in the prophetic scriptures. Look at verse 7. But that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to the servants, his servants, the prophets. So this angel announces that what is about to take place is exactly what the prophets predicted in the spoken word of God. And the critical point the prophets stressed in their predictions was that which pertained to Israel. What this angel is saying is all these prophecies pertaining to Israel that have to do with horrible judgment, they're about to hit, and this will finish the program of God. And so we see then the mission given by or to the apostles of God. look at this action of John, beginning at verse 8. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, go take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, told him to give me the little scroll, and he said to me, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter, and I was told, you must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings. So as John is watching this and listening to this, he's given these three commands. He said, take the book from the hand of the angel. And this proves that this angel is not Jesus Christ, because no one would be worthy to take the book out of his hand. And John is commanded to go take that book from the hand of the angel. And then eat the book, eat the scroll you'll get from the angel. It's a very important point. No matter what's happening in the world, it's imperative that God's people feed on the Word of God. It's critical that people have an appetite for the Word of God. And God's ministers have a responsibility to digest a book like Revelation and feed it to his people. And so that's why I'm glad we're studying it. And the chronology of this is that as John ate the word, it was sweet but became bitter. Before things become sweet for Israel and the world, there will be some very bitter things that will hit. Judgment is bitter, but it may also be sweet. If one is in a right relationship with God, there's a sweetness to the judgment theme. But if one is not in a right relationship with God, the same theme is very bitter. So at this point in the Great Tribulation, about to become very bitter for Israel. John was not only an apostle, but he was also a Jew. And so he came to realize that the bitter time would ultimately become a sweet time when Israel was in her land and kingdom, experiencing all the blessings of God. And then it calls on him to proclaim biblical prophecy to the nations. That's critical. It's a biblical mandate to communicate the prophetic plan of God to the entire Gentile world. It's the responsibility of John to write down and communicate and warn of all the horrible things that would hit in the Great Tribulation. So it's interesting that biblical prophecy pertaining to Israel is to be communicated to peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Political leaders need to know the importance of the plan of God. So this is not just truth about an evangelistic message to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. This has to do with the entire Word of God and the entire prophetic plan